7. The three abstrusities. The aberration of light, the annual parallax of the stars, the regular, annual shift of the lines of the stellar spectra. By the aberration of light is meant a displacement of all stars, during a year's observation, by which stars near the pole of the ecliptic describe circles, stars nearer the ecliptic describe ellipses, and the stars of the ecliptic, only little straight lines. It is supposed that light has velocity, and that these forms represent the ratio between the velocity of light and the supposed velocity of this Earth in its orbit. In the year 1725, Bradley conceived of the present orthodox explanation of the aberration forms of the stars, that they reflect or represent the path that this Earth traverses around the Sun, as it would look from the stars, appearing virtually circular from stars in the pole of the ecliptic, for instance. In Bradley's day there were no definite delusions as to the traversing by this Earth of another path in space, as part of a whole moving system, so Bradley felt simple and satisfied. About a century later, by some of the most amusing reasoning that one could be entertained with, astronomers decided that the whole supposed solar system is moving, at a rate of about 13 miles a second from the region of Sirius to a point near Vega, all this occurring in northern skies, because southern astronomers had not very much to say at that time. Now, then, if at one time in the year, and in one part of its orbit, this Earth is moving in the direction in which the whole solar system is moving, there we have this Earth traversing a distance that is the sum of its own motion and the general motion, then when the Earth rounds about and retraces, there we have its own velocity minus the general velocity. The first abstrusity, then, is knocked flat on its technicalities, because the aberration forms, then, do not reflect the annual motion of this Earth, if, in conventional terms, though the path of this Earth is circular or elliptic relatively to the Sun, when compounding with solar motion it is not so formed relatively to stars, and there will have to be another explanation for the aberration forms. The second supposed proof that this Earth moves around the Sun is in the parallax of the stars. In conventional terms, it is said that opposite points in this Earth's orbit are 185 million miles apart. It is said that stars, so differently viewed, are minutely displaced against their backgrounds. Again, solar motion if, in conventional terms, this Earth has been traveling, as part of the solar system, from Sirius, toward Vega, in 2000 years this Earth has traveled 819,936,000,000 miles. This distance is 4,500 times the distance that is the baseline for orbital parallax. Then displacement of the stars by solar motion parallax in 2000 years, should be 4,500 times the displacement by orbital parallax, in 1 year. Give to orbital parallax as minute a quantity as is consistent with the claims made for it, and 4,500 times that would dent the Great Dipper and nick the sickle of Leo, and perhaps make the dragon look like a dragon. But not a star in the heavens has changed more than doubtfully since the stars were catalogued by Hipparchus, 2,000 years ago. If, then, there be minute displacements of stars that are attributed to orbital parallax, they will have to be explained in some other way, if evidently the Sun does not move from Sirius toward Vega, and if then, quite as reasonably, this Earth may not move. Professor Young's third proof is spectroscopic. To what degree can spectroscopy in astronomy be relied upon? Bryant, A History of Astronomy, p. 206. That, according to Bélopolsky, Venus rotates in about 24 hours, as determined by the spectroscope, that, according to Dr. Slipher, Venus rotates in about 224 days, as determined by the spectroscope. According to observations too numerous to make it necessary to cite any, the seeming motions of stars, occulted by the Moon, show that the Moon has atmosphere. According to the spectroscope, there is no atmosphere upon the Moon, Pubs. Astro. SOC Pacific, Volume 6, Number 37. The ring of light around Venus, during the transits of 1874 and 1882, indicated that Venus has atmosphere. Most astronomers say that Venus has an atmosphere of extreme density, obscuring the features of the planet. According to spectrum analysis, by Sir William Huggins, Venus has no atmosphere, ENG Mech, 4-22. In the English Mechanic, 89-439, are published results of spectroscopic examinations of Mars, by Director Campbell, of the Lick Observatory, that there is no oxygen, and that there is no water vapor on Mars. In monthly notices, RAS, 27-178, are published results of spectroscopic examinations of Mars by Huggins, abundance of oxygen, same vapors as the vapors of this Earth. These are the amusements of our Pilgrim's Progress, which has new San Salvadors for its goals, or new Plymouth Rocks for its expectations, but the experiences of pilgrims have variety. In 1895, at the Allegheny Observatory, Professor Keeler undertook to determine the rotation period of Saturn's rings, by spectroscopy. It is gravitational gospel that particles upon the outside of the rings move at the rate of 10.69 miles a second, particles upon the inner edge, 13.01 miles a second. Professor Keeler's determinations were what Sir Robert Ball calls brilliant confirmation of the mathematical deduction. Professor Keeler announced that according to the spectroscope, the outside particles of the rings of Saturn move at the rate of 10.1 miles a second, and that the inner particles move at the rate of 12.4 miles a second as they ought to, says Professor Young, in his Gospel, Elements of Astronomy. One reads of a miracle like this, the carrying out into decimals of different speeds of different particles in parts of a point of light, the parts of which cannot be seen at all without a telescope, whereby they seem to constitute a solid motionless structure, and one admires, or one worships, according to one's inexperience. Or there comes upon one a sense of imposture and imposition that is not very bearable. Imposition or imposture or captivation, and it's as if we've been trapped and have been put into a revolving cage, some of the bars revolving at unthinkable speed, and other bars of it going around still faster, even though not conceivable. Disbelieve as we will, deride and accuse, and think of all the other false demonstrations that we have encountered, as we will, there's the buzz of the bars that encircle us. The concoction that has caged us is one of the most brilliant harlots in modern prostitution. We're imprisoned at the pleasure of a favorite in the harem of the god of gravitation. That's some relief. Language always is, but how are we to determine that the rings of Saturn do not move as they ought to, and thereby add more to the discrediting of spectroscopy in astronomy? A gleam on a planet, that's like shine on a sword to deliver us. The white spot of Saturn. A bright and shining deliverer. There's a gleam that will shatter concoctions and stop velocities. There's a shining thing on the planet Saturn, and the blow that it shines is lightning. Thus far has gone a revolution of 10.1 miles a second, but it stops by magic against magic. No farther buzzes a revolution of 12.4 miles a second that the rings of Saturn may not move as, to flatter one little god, they ought to, because, by the handiwork of universality, they may be motionless. Often has a white spot been seen upon the rings of Saturn, by Schmidt, Bond, Secchi, Schroeder, Harding, Schwab, DeVico, a host of other astronomers. It is stationary. In the English Mechanic, 49-195, Thomas Gwyn Elgar publishes a sketch of it as he saw it upon the nights of April 18 and 20, 1889. It occupied a position partly upon one ring and partly upon the other, showing no distortion. Let Professor Keeler straddle two concentric merry-go-rounds, whirling at different velocities, there will be distortion. See Volume 49, English Mechanic, for observation after observation by astronomers upon this appearance, when seen for several months in the year 1889, the observers agreeing that, no matter what are the demands of theory, this fixed spot did indicate that the rings of Saturn do not move. The white spot on Saturn has blasted minor magic. He has little, black retainers who now function in the cause of completeness, the little, black spots of Saturn. Nature, 53-109. That, in July and August, 1895, Professor Mascari, of the Catania Observatory, had seen dark spots upon the crepe ring of Saturn? The writer in Nature says that such duration is not easy to explain, if the rings of Saturn be formations of moving particles, because different parts of the discolored areas would have different velocities, so that soon would they distort and diffuse. Certainly enough, relatively to my purpose, which is to find out for myself, and to find out with anybody else who may be equally impressed with a necessity, a brilliant, criminal thing has been slain by a gleam of higher intensity. Certainly enough, then, with the execution of one of its foremost exponents, the whole subject of spectroscopy in astronomy has been cast into rout and disgrace, of course only to ourselves, and not in the view of manufacturers of spectroscopes, for instance, but a phantom thing dies a phantom death, and must be slain over and over again. I should say that just what is called the spectrum of a star is not commonly understood. It is one of the greatest uncertainties in science. The spectrum of a star is a ghost in the first place, but this ghost has to be further attenuated by a secondary process, and the whole appearance trembles so with the twinkling of a star that the stories told by spectra are gasps of palsied phantoms. So it is that, in one of the greatest indefinitenesses in science, an astronomer reads in a bewilderment that can be made to correspond with any desideratum. So it is our acceptance that when any faint, tremulous story told by a spectrum becomes standardized, the conventional astronomer is told, by the spectroscope, what he should be told, but that when anything new appears, for which there is no convention, the bewilderment of the astronomers is made apparent, and the worthlessness of spectroscopy in astronomy is shown to all except those who do not want to be shown. Upon the 1st of February, 1892, Dr. Thomas D. Anderson, of Edinburgh, discovered a new star that became known as Nova Aurigae. Here was something as to which there was no dogmatic determination. Each astronomer had to see, not what he should, but what he could. We shall see that the astronomers might as well have gone, for information, to some of Mrs. Piper's controls as to think of depending upon their own ghosts.